Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it is. It's a very good day. Because God has given us another opportunity to come together, and He's going to take us through this journey. Amen. We're on a journey with Him. How many are with us on the journey? Hey, we're going through this journey. It's a wonderful time. I don't know if it could be any better. It'd be nice. You know, we all go through bumps and scratches and things in life. It's like, oh, man, I wish I didn't have to go through that. But it's for some purpose and for something that we may not understand here on this side of heaven, but we will learn about it, and we will understand it when it totally unfolds itself. But anyway, today is a wonderful day. I want to continue to pick up on a little bit. Last week we had shared on promises are not slack. That was about 2 weeks ago. Last week, I think we shared about being steadfast in your faith. That steadfastness in our faith brought us to the conclusion where I ended at Colossians. And in Colossians 2:5, it talks about where, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order. To see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith. And then this week I continued reading myself, and it says in 6, and as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. And then in 7 it says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And so I saw that word, abounding. And I want to take off on that. God is not slack. God is wanting us to be strong. God is wanting us to stay in His rest. God wants us to do and be in a lot of things with Him. And I think the good thing about all of that is this, that He will be there for us. And He will help us through those things. So what that did, today I want to look at that. God expects us to abound in serving Him. We need to serve Him. We need to be actively, say, working for Him, doing His thing. Like Jesus said, I am about my Father's business. We too are to be about our Father's business. 1 Corinthians is where I'm going to go to. 1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58. In 1 Corinthians 15, around verse 50, it begins, my title of the Bible here on that heading says, Our Final Victory. And we can do these things. It talks about, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit corruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, and the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And it goes on and speaks about those things. But then I get down to verse 58. And it's speaking here as it closes out. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. There's that word again, steadfast. Be immovable. Always doing what? Abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in that of the Lord. When we are serving the Lord, the things that He's asked us to do, it's not in vain. There's a purpose. There's a reason. There's a task why He has given it, maybe specifically for you, for such a time as this, for such a time as this in your particular life and where you're at. But it's for a purpose, and it's not just happenstance. It's just not He just willy-nilly throws it out there. It's a purposely planned event that I believe God has for each and every one of us. And He's telling us here that we're finding, as Paul says, that be abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. We find that Paul says that because of the resurrection, nothing we do is useless. And you got to understand, a lot of times people get into the situation with that in a kingdom of a child of God, And they wonder sometimes, like, well, what's the purpose? What's my, why am I here? Anybody ever ask yourself that? I have. I'm sure all of us at one time or another in our walk with him have said, well, what's this all about, God? Why me? What is so important about me? You are important about yourself because God put himself in you. God formed you. God, in his image, you were formed. And so there's a plan and a purpose there. But Paul says that because of the resurrection, nothing we do is useless. At times, we can become apathetic. What is this apathetic? Showing no interest. Have you seen people in churches after a season with that of God? They begin to show no interest in things. They begin to no longer find church interesting. They begin to find that things of God are no longer enticing and interesting to them. They begin to, and that calls this thing about we're going back in the world. Where the world has got a hold of us and it's drawing us back into itself. But sometimes we do become apathetic. Apathetic is that of showing no interest in the things that God has for us. We find that we no longer have that enthusiasm. Anybody very enthused when you came to that of, you know, Christ in your life? Began to see things changing. God was dropping things into your life like, oh my goodness, this is awesome. We had such an enthusiasm. But we have no longer showing that. We are even no longer showing a concern for the things of God. We've got a lot of good people, many of you that have had other church backgrounds and other church settings and had a lot of good friends in these churches. You look around and you sometimes go, where are those that I attended with? What happened to them? You may come across them in the street and they're, oh, well, we're not going anywhere. Well, we're not doing this. Or we've kind of stepped back. Or we're doing whatever it is. And it's just one of these things that's a shame because a lot of the times if you don't stay connected to something within a church confines of being connected into the fellowship, you're going to miss something of that of God. It's not that the church is where you're going to pick it up. God is going to touch you wherever you're at. But you need to be into some kind of a work. You've got to be into some kind of a church setting at least a couple of times a week or once a week or something to come in as a corporate body to hear God's word. And also you need to be there because you need to pray for your fellow brethren or your sisters in Christ. If you don't come to church, you don't know so-and-so is going through a pain. If you don't show up, people wonder like, oh, I wonder what happened to them today. Oh, I hope they're all okay, you know. Just a few weeks back, I had called and talked to my wife after I had gone to a baseball game, and I told her, well, I'm only about 10 to 15 minutes away from home. I maybe had shared that. And I stopped off at a store. I thought, oh, something hit me. I'm going to stop at the store before I go home. And Dean was at home, and she was like, he should have been home by now. What's happened? Where's he at? And it also, I think it has something to do with after the accident. She said, she just ended up kind of almost like hyperventilating or something. She got really like, oh, what's something's wrong? And I showed up, and of course she says, you should have been home by a lot sooner than what you were. I said, she goes, I was really concerned. And it's because she had in her mind, I should be home in 10 to 15 minutes. And now 15 minutes has passed, 20 minutes has passed. Uh-oh, where's he at? Did something happen to him? Because I wasn't there, she began to get worried. When people aren't at church, sometimes people begin to worry about, well, are you okay? Has something going on? You know, and sometimes when we know people have some health issues or some things going on physically or whatever, or family stuff, when they're not there, we begin to wonder, uh-oh, I wonder what's happened. I hope things are okay. And so that's why it's important to come to church so that people know how you're doing and it's okay for you to be at church so that you can pray for this person. The church, the family of God, is built like that. God has put us together as a family. You may go to another church and you may not fit in there, but you may fit in here very well with the people that we have and you've come to know and you've come to build a relationship. And we are a wonderful family here. Thursdays has its own homogeneous type thing, a group of homogeneous. It's like all the similarities, we all connect similar to the things that we are going through. So churches like that. But we also, we find that we begin to have apathetic feelings toward the church. And not only that, we begin to have that same lackluster feeling for God. We no longer have that interest. I'm no longer enthused. God, oh, he's got enough people. He doesn't need my help. I don't have concern for that anymore like I did. You know why that is? A lot of that is because we find that we don't see the results when we want to see the results. And if we don't see it soon enough, we get lackadaisical. If we don't see it when we think it should have been answered, we no longer have that enthusiasm like, well, what? Why should I pray? I've been praying for so-and-so for the last 6 months and they're still struggling. I've been praying for this situation for the last year. I've been praying for this for how many years? And it just seems to be still the same old, same old. I don't think God is hearing me. I don't think God is really concerned. I begin to show no more concern for God. I don't have that interest anymore to keep that person in prayer because I'm not seeing the result when I want to see it. And that's right when you need to be in the fight. That's right there when you need to say, I have got to continue to be strong in my faith. I have got to continue to be actively seeking more of the things of God. I've got to let God see that I am still hooked up to Him and His plans and His purposes. And I don't know when it's going to come about, but Lord, I trust You that I know You've heard my prayers and You will answer them on Your timetable. But that's what happens. Because we don't see the results, we get less interest, we get less enthusiasm. Man is usually result-driven, right? Talk to people in the corporate world, people out in companies and stores and operational things. They're result-driven. When you put a plan together as a corporation, as a company, as a job or whatever, if you don't see the results at the end when you think they should be there, you don't like what you see, you will change. Or you will say, that must not be working, or it's not working as fast as I want it. So man, and just the very makeup of the person, we are result-oriented people. I want to see the result when? Now. I want to see the result in 3 weeks. I want something done in 6 months. And man sets a timetable. Anytime man puts things together, look at the things in the city. We build this, we build that. They're going to do this and they're going to do that. They will tell you, we're going to start now and by the fall of 2025, it'll be done. By the spring of 2025, it'll be done. Whatever the case is, man has set expectations and they have a plan to say it will be done by that time unless there's unforeseen circumstances. Well, when that happens, they move that date a little bit later. But, you know, there's unseen circumstances that when we pray for something, we don't really know what all is involved with what God has planned for that person or for that event or for that situation, right? We don't know what God's plan is for this upcoming election, but we know we're going to pray, but we don't know what the outcome is going to be. But I hope it's going to be what I want because I'm result-driven, and what I'm praying for, I want it that way. Well, if it don't happen to come that way, I better not become apathetic towards the things of God or towards the call that God has on my life or as that of a child of God. I have got to stay in the fight until He calls me home or until the answer comes. And it may not even be in my time frame. It may not even be in my life. But it'll be in God's time. But man is, in all intents and purposes, we are result-driven. And if we don't see the result when we want to see it, kind of wanes. Knowing that Christ has won the ultimate victory should affect the way that we live here in this day that we're in. Don't let discouragement over an apparent lack of your results of seeing things, don't let that keep you from doing what the Lord has directed you to do. You know, people have said, well, God has called me to be a prayer warrior or whatever the case is. And so you become a prayer warrior and you're going and all of a sudden you're seeing answers to prayer and you're seeing this happening and you're seeing that person touched. You're seeing that situation change. And then all of a sudden you're praying and all of a sudden, wait a minute, it's not happening like it used to. What's going on? What has happened? What has happened in my life? What has changed this whole process? You know what? It may not have been anything. The only thing that's changed is nothing. The only thing that has changed is you're not seeing it on the schedule that you have seen it on. We can't look at and say, well, this is how God answered so-and-so's prayer, so that must be the way I need to pray. No, every prayer and every individual situation is unique to that person. Yeah, but we all have the same hurt back. I know, but God is going to answer it and heal it a different way, maybe for all six of you. It's not going to be the exact same thing. You're not going to have a step one, two, three, four for six people, and that's the way God is going to work. God has a special plan, a special way. He's going to touch you specifically so that you know He has touched you in His way. It's not a cookie-cutter God. We think God is a cookie-cutter to where, as some people make wonderful treats. And one time we had, on Thursday mornings, we had the ark of all these little animals, like animal cookies. Oh, they were cute. They were perfectly farmed giraffes and elephants and tigers and stuff because the person that made them had cookie cutters, I'm pretty sure. I don't think she molded them by hand. No. She had a cookie cutter. Everyone stamped. Boom, boom, boom. Everything was the same, whatever it was. God is not like that. God is an individual God. God is going to meet you where you're at. He's going to address it with you where you need to pay attention to Him so that He's going to teach you, show you, and you're going to learn something from Him in every situation. So we've got to get away from this result-driven prayer. We got to get to the point of the prayer is to that of God, and it's going to be God's will to accomplish how He wants to do it. I just need to be the one praying and turn it to God to respond and do the thing how He wants to do it. We find out that we should never give up. Remember I talked about, I've been praying for this situation for 6 months, a year, 8 months, 8 weeks, whatever. You throw it out there. Never give up. Continually, steadfastly, in faith, and abound in service to God. When the prayer is not answered, sometimes people begin to say, well, God is not hearing me any longer. I guess I'm not in His fold. I guess He's not concerned for me. Why should I go to church? Why should I attend? Why should I put myself out to go? Because evidently, my prayers are hitting the ceiling. They're not going anywhere. Your prayers are going right where they need to go. God is hearing your prayers. You've got to have faith in that. You've got to have trust in that. And then you've got to have that ability to stick-to-itness and be steadfast, and that God is not slack. We've had some of that message a few weeks back. He is not slack in answering and doing the things that He's going to do. The world would like to tell you that. The devil would like to tell you, where is your God? He's not evidently hearing you. Tim, you've been praying for that. You've been dealing with that pain or that ache in your back or that ache in your knee or whatever the case is for a year. Where is your God? I have to still at times, if I'm sitting down or whatever, put my hand on my knee. Sometimes it's at night. Anybody pray for your needs at night? I'm in my recliner and it's night out time. I'll sit and I'll say, Lord, I don't know. But Lord, I know these knees or this leg or the strength of my legs are not what it should be. But I know You can bring strength back in. Okay, Lord, I pray for the proper blood flow. All this stuff, our body needs to function properly. All this stuff has to. You have to have the proper fluid. You got to have, water and all this stuff. Everything is, there's a purpose to all that. So you got to start figuring out yourself. Do I need to drink more water? Do I need to do this? Whatever the case is. But I find my times of saying, Lord, touch my legs, touch my knee, touch my heel, whatever the case might be. Touch my abdominal area after that accident with the bruising and things that affected that. I don't know, Lord. There's internal things that I don't know. I don't have an x-ray to know or a CT scan. But God knows and God sees. God's the creator. He put me together. He's my physician. He's my healer. I just need to say, okay, God, whenever You're ready to heal me, I'm ready to go. I'm ready, Lord, but please sooner than later. And if not, Lord, what am I learning here? Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Pray, pray, pray. Don't give up. Never give up. Continually, steadfastly in that of faith, but also in faith as I pray, but also continue to serve God even when you're going through situations. Don't give up. Don't go on the sidelines. You've got to get back into that game. You're not built. God did not put you here to sit on the sidelines. God has put you here to be in the game all the way through it, all four quarters, all nine innings, whatever the case is, all two halves, whatever the case is. God has put us here to play the game all the way through. There is no sitting on the sidelines. Now, you might sit there for a little bit to recuperate, or he'll give you time to refresh and things like that. I'm not saying that he won't do that. But you're going to then need to get back into the game with a more fervency of what God has and wants you to do. You have got to be abounding in the work of the Lord. Everybody say, abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that nothing we do in the name of Jesus is done in vain. There is a purpose for it all. My goodness. We might find this word abounding. If I looked it up in my trusty little Bible here, in the word wealth and the understanding of the Greek, it's perisuo. It's P-E-R-I-S-S-E-U-O. When I see that word, it's telling me to superabound. It's telling me to have excess, to greatly surpass. Abounding in the work of the Lord. We are to do what? Just get by? Just do a little? Just get so? Oh, I just want the Lord just to see me doing a little bit. I don't want to get too involved. No. We have got to be there to where we superabound. We are in excess. We're greatly surpassing the things that He wants. We are excelling at everything He wants us to do. Look at yourself today and ask yourself, am I excelling at everything that God has asked me to do? Don't raise your hand. Don't hit yourself. No, I'm not. Are you excelling? And that's, we all have to ask that ourselves. Lord, am I excelling in everything you've asked me to do? You have given me gifts and talents and abilities that are far beyond what I understand and that I know on my own. But Lord, you've given them to me. They're yours. I hope and I pray that I fulfill what you want me to do. But we have got to always look at these things. We got to look at this word. We want to excel at superabounding and abounding in the works of the Lord. In the New Century Version, this verse in 1 Corinthians 15:58 would be this. So, my dear brothers and sisters, stand strong. Do not let anything move you. Always give. Do not let anything move you. Oh, this pain. Oh, this situation. Oh, I see this happening. Oh, I don't see this happening. Oh, it says here, do not let anything move you. Always give yourselves fully. This is the New Century Version, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your work in the Lord is never wasted. Hallelujah! My work in the Lord, the things God wants me to do, it's not a wasted thing. Man sometimes will give you busy things to do. Just get out of my hair. Go do this. What's it accomplishing? Not a whole lot, but it just gets you out of my hair. That's man's way of doing things. God is not like that. God has a plan and a purpose and a reason why He has selected you, put you in that area, put you in overseeing that, whatever the case might be. It is all for that, and what you do for that of the Lord is never a wasted part of energy. It's not a wasted time. It's not wasted of what you're doing. It's for His purpose. I like the Amplified in that same verse says, therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, be immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord. What is that? Always doing your best and doing more than is needed. Oh, I like to just do enough to get by. How about you? You will find in your career and job, if you do just enough to get by, you will probably remain at that level of where you're at. But if you're one that goes and does over and above what is expected of you, you will usually be rewarded for that, and things will come about and things will work in your favor. Amen? Thank you, Lord. As we work for man, we need to do that for God and work over and above and do more than what even He expects to do those things that He's given us, so that He can see and say, oh, I am well pleased. Well done, good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But it says, always doing your best and doing more than is needed. Being what? Continually aware that your labor, it says here in the Amplified, it says, aware that, continually aware that your labor In brackets here, it would say, even to the point of exhaustion. What? I got to work myself into exhaustion for the Lord? Yes. When time is right, yes. You might have to do more than you think. You have to stay more involved in the fight of whatever it is longer than you think. What? Even when I'm exhausted? Well, if you're getting exhausted, ask for more strength and He will give it to you. Where you're weak, He is strong. But you got to go until you know that the Lord has released you from whatever that event is so that He can say, well done. Even to the point of exhaustion, and the Lord is not futile or nor is it wasted. Again, remember, things that we do for the Lord is never without a purpose. What the Lord has asked you to do is for a purpose. It's not just to keep you busy. It's not just, He's not looking down saying, you know, if I give Tim this to do, it'll keep him out of my hair for about 6 months and I don't have to worry about him. I'm just going to give him some busy work. Yeah, we need to be busy about what Jesus said. I'm about my Father's business. We got to be that same. We find further in Scripture that God expects us to produce for Him. He will give us what we need when we just need to put it into action to fulfill God's plan. We find further in Scripture that God expects us to produce things for Him. He will give us what we need, and we just need to put it into action. This is going to go into an area that we have spent some time in Thursdays. I think John continues to run across this for a while and keeps mentioning it. And I keep looking at it during those Thursdays. And this is, I think, where part of this plan or this message of today comes into, because we're just bouncing things back and forth on Thursdays to Sunday and Sundays to Thursdays. But this is dealing with that of the talents. If we go to Matthew 25:29... John has shared wonderfully in regards to the parables of the talents and the five and all of that. And one, he gave five talents. I don't know if I'm taking this from John, because really it's in the Bible and it's God's. So, no. Matthew 25:14. For the kingdom of God is like a man traveling to a far country who called his servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave five talents, to another two, and to the other one. There's those talents, those things that God has given out. Now, He is expecting something to come out of those things. He just didn't give them just to say, here, just hold on to them. No, we'll find out more about that. But we find in Matthew 25:29, this is where John, again, I've said, shares quite a bit, and we've kind of covered this a lot, and it's been a good thing to just kind of keep hearing over and over, because what God is expecting you to do, He's expecting you to do it. And He's given you a talent. It's whether it's five talents, two talents, or one. Whatever God has given you to do, do it. Be faithful at it. Don't go, I'm just going to hold on to it. I don't want to, you know, God has told me to do this in the kingdom of God. Well, I don't want to excel in it, because I want enough to this to do for the next 10 years. I don't want to, you know, be like a short fuse and, I got it done. Now what? Because you get it done and God's got more for you to do. Amen? In Matthew 25:29, New King James, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. The Amplified says, for to everyone who has, and that is, for everyone who has, and values his blessings and gifts from God, and has used them wisely, more will be given. Have you gotten to a point where you just seem like God's not really giving me anymore? God's not really speaking into my life, and He's not sending me on this or that. I feel like I'm estranged from God. Why am I not hearing from Him? It's probably, or could be, maybe, that He's asked you to do some things and you've not fulfilled them yet, so He's waiting for you to fulfill them. And once you fulfill them, He'll come back to you and say, okay, now that you got that done, here you go. But it says, and values his blessings and gifts from God and has used them wisely. And then goes on to say, more will be given. And it talks about he will be richly supplied so that he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, because he has ignored or disregarded his blessings and gifts from God. Again, remember guys, you're sitting there, you're going, I didn't go to Bible college, I didn't go to this training, I didn't go to this, I didn't go to that, I have no understanding of Hebrew, I have no understanding of Greek, I don't, blah, 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 all, you can name it. God has a gift and a talent in you. He has a purpose in you. And He's saying, use it. Don't hide it under a bushel, you know, like that light. Don't hide it under a bushel. You've got to let it shine. Well, don't hold on to your talent and say, well, this is good, I like doing this, and this is all I want to do. I'm just going to keep it right here. No, you do it to the abundance. You do it to the fulfillment. You excel in it. You do it to excess and let God decide what more He's going to give you. Because if you get it and you don't use it, you don't do it to excess, He will probably hold back all the other blessings He's got for you because you're not doing the one that He's asked you to do. And no, wow, you're going like, why am I not hearing from Him anymore? It's like that in the natural. You tell your kids or something to do something or somebody at work to do something and then they come back and they say, hey, how come you've not given me anything else to do? And you say, well, because you've not done what I've asked you to do already. Do this and then I've got more for you. God is going to be like that. Do this and I've got more planned for you. Amen? And even what He does have will be taken away. Each one of us will receive what is due us from our service to God. God is a rewarder of those things. He's going to treat us all the same, fairer, across the board. He's going to look at you, look at me, look at us, whatever, and compare ourselves to just ourselves. He's going to compare my whatever to what He specifically has asked me to do. I'm not going to be compared to John, or Denny, or Janice, or Dawn, or Dan. I'm not going to be compared to anybody. I'm not going to be compared to Billy Graham. I'm not going to be compared to, you know, Oral Roberts or any of these. God is going to just look at what I have, and He's going to say, well, let's see, Tim. What did you accomplish with what I've given you? What did you not accomplish? What did you leave on the table that I had for you? And that takes me then, I go back to 1 Corinthians. Now, okay, that's a talent. Okay, we know that. You can kind of look at that, the talents, and see how that all developed. But that's tying into this thing of to abound in the things that God has given us. Now I'm going to jump back as we kind of get closer here to the end. The end. It took me back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3:8, I think. 1 Corinthians 3:8, New King James says, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. See? According to his own labor. I'm not in comparison with all these others dealing with God's plans that He has for us, for you to do. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. Amplified says, he who plants and he who waters are one. They're one in importance and esteem, working toward the same purpose. We're on the team. Hey, we're on the team. Are you on the team? We all have a purpose. We have some that pastor, some that teach, some that pray, some that whatever, prophesy, some that the fivefold gifts of the ministry. I've always said this, if you can get a church that's got all five of that functioning, you're going to be a barn burner church because God will be pouring stuff in there and that thing will just be going. Are there those out there that are fivefold? I don't know. Even though you're large doesn't mean you may have fivefold, but it's just that if you can get all these gifts together, look out. But if you can get just like one or two or three, praise God. He's got plans and He'll work through those things. And a note of this, God's work involves many different individuals that have a variety of gifts, talents, and abilities. I look out at each one of you. You all have something special. And you're using it, hopefully, for that of the kingdom. No one individually stands out as a superstar. Dun, da, da, I'm the super. They can't go on in the ministry without me. Oh, pride. Pride. Get away from that. No one individual stands out a superstar. Only members of a team, each performing their own special roles. We need to set aside our desires and our work as a team. We all have different desires and things that we would like to do. But we've got to come together as one, working together for the common good and the commonness of God's kingdom. We look at that in our sports. We look at that in so many things. But I like this, and it reminded me when we see that we need to work together as a team in setting aside our desires and work as a team. You will find if you've watched the Badgers football games, you'll see that the new coach has a acronym or team on the back of his shirt, right? On the back of his jersey, jacket, sweater, team. And that just says this, remember this. Together, everyone achieves more. As God puts all of us into, or one or two or three of us into a body of in the church, and we all are functioning on the things that we're to do, you don't need to worry about the teaching aspect because somebody's already doing that. You just, if God's called you to be a prayer, you just need to be a prayer warrior, and you just need to focus on that. Don't worry about, well, I'm not pastoring. I'm not that important. Well, I'm not teaching. I'm a prayer warrior. That's important. Well, I'm a teacher. That's important. Well, I'm just a little old pastor. That's important. Hello. I just clean the toilets. That's important. Everything in God's order of working and doing is important for Him. We are laying ourselves out. We're surrendering ourselves to say, Lord, to work in your kingdom, I will do whatever you want. But together as a team, together everyone achieves more. And that's what we want to do for God. Now, God is going to achieve more on himself because he's God. He can do anything. But he wants us to be a part of that team. And I would encourage you today to look at yourself and where you're at on that team. And are you abounding in the things that he's asked you to do? Are you to do this? Well, do it. If he's asked you to take care of that, do it. If he's speaking you to do that, do it. The thing about it is, like I think Nike came out with a nice logo, wasn't it? Just do it. If I got the right company, just do it. Oh, God, I don't know what I'm to do for him. I don't know. I don't know if I've got any special gifts or whatever. Well, sit and meditate and pray before him and begin to see some things rise to the top. Maybe others around you would say, well, you're a wonderful prayer warrior. Oh, you are so good at hospitality. You know, there's all kinds of things in the church setting as far as hospitality, you know, helping clean and keep the church cleanliness for what we have and what God has given us, that we are taking ownership of it to the point of I'm proud of it. I want people to be, when they come in, I want them to see a wonderful place and not just some kind of a pig pen, you know. Even though I know we call it, I had one guy, minister that came through here, called it, oh, all this is a sheep shed, you know. Well, a true sheep shed doesn't probably smell very good, but this is doing pretty good. It's a sheep shed, okay? But we want to take pride in those things. We want to be honoring God with those things. Remember this, people's approval and praises, they're comparatively worthless compared to that of the approval that you will receive from God. People might come up to myself or maybe to John or to Don or any of us in here, to Bill and Bonnie, and they play music. That's a gift from God. Oh, you are so wonderful. You just are great. And they say, well, you know, it's a talent that God has given us. I'm giving God the glory. Well, I'm a helper. I like to stand, be a part of works and ministries in the church to be of helps. That's wonderful. That's a talent that God has given you. So God has given us all these talents and gifts. To try to get the approval of it, it's okay to say, well, thank you, but it's God. You know, thank God for what he's given me. Just be found faithful to use and to be abounding and to be abounding in these things. As I wrap this up here, we find in Revelation this regarding our work within that of the kingdom of God. In Revelation 22:12, Jesus is testifying to the churches. And it says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Your reward is laid up there in heaven. What God has asked us to do here in this place, we want to honor him and praise him and worship him and be found faithful with the little that he's given us, be found faithful with the much that he's given us, whatever the case. as God has placed me in this role as pastor and an overseer of this place, I have got that responsibility to make sure that the bills are paid, the lights are on, the heat is working. If this needs fixed, we got to figure it out. I got to do this. Whatever the case might be. And it's not to say, oh, you know, I want your sympathy. But it's as I stepped into this role, I realized what I was stepping into, that I am to be a steward of all that God has given us. God has given you things, you need to be a steward. What's a steward? A good steward is one that uses it wisely and to the function that it is to be used for, and to protect it and to use it wisely. Your gift and talent, use it wisely for that of the glory of God. If he's given you some material things to maintain, be a steward of it. Your house, be a steward of it. God gave that to you. Take care of it. Work with it. Keep it up. You know, whatever the case is. As I look at everything in my life as a blessing from God, I am responsible to keep it maintained. And if I need help with it, if I need finances for it to fix something, I try to find whatever I can for the cost factor, but I pray to God. I said, Lord, this is yours. What do we need to do? It's no different than when I say, Lord, my knee's hurting. How should I help with fixing it? What should I do? Anything on my part, Lord? Are you just going to miraculously, when I wake up tomorrow morning, boom, it's done. Whoa, those are the best blessings, right? When you can wake up and go, hey, I'm moving a little better than when I went to bed. I don't know what happened during my dreams at night, but hey, I feel better. Why? Because you pray before you go to sleep. And I pray, Lord, rest this body. Take care of this. Whatever the case is. Well, trying to be, and I'm not very good at it, as we can look at our physicalness and all, but being a steward of even our physical temple, the body, the church. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit lives in here, and I need to do a better job of taking care of this temple. How about you? You know, we got a lot of stuff we got to work on. We're not there yet. But just because I'm not there doesn't mean I'm not going to keep trying. And then I'm going to keep talking to God. And I'm going to keep trusting God and believing that he does have that answer on the way to take care of this, whether it's my physical needs for a building, family needs, whatever the case might be. But anyway, when we read in Revelation 22:12, Jesus testifying to the church, behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. The Amplified says, behold, I, Jesus, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me. Why is that? To give to each one according to the merits of his deed, literally as his work is. Whatever your work is, literally that's what your reward is going to be towards. That, like earthly works and faithfulness, things that you do on this earth, he's looking at it. He's paying attention. You know, believe it or not, you know, when you got a job on this earth and you go in like 6 months or every year, you have an evaluation. Well, Tim, you're meeting that. Tim, you're meeting that. Tim, you're exceeding in this area. Great. Tim, this needs a little work. You know, man gives us a performance review. Maybe we ought to sometimes ask God. God, I'm going to ask this very gingerly. Would you want to give me a performance review right about now on how I'm doing down here before I get to glory? Is that where we sometimes have a come to meet in Jesus? Well, Tim. Oh, man. But sometimes we need to be honest and say, Lord, what I know I'm failing in so many areas. Forgive me. Help me where I'm failing. But I want to do my best. I want to be active. I want to be effective for you. Help me where I need to be helped by that of you, Lord. But I hope I'm finding some favor within you for what I am doing. Not that I want to puff myself up and be prideful, but I just want my Heavenly Father to say, Tim, you're on track. You could do a lot better, but you're on track. Okay, God, we'll keep persevering. Keep going. Keep pushing it. Amen? So the final judgment for all the believer will occur when we stand before Christ to have his fidelity, that's not God's, ours, to have our fidelity and our service judged. And the appropriate reward will be determined. To have the fidelity and service judged that he's asked you all to do on this side of heaven. Especially since you became a child of his and received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Will you stand there at that time of judgment and standing there and say, okay, Lord, let's hear what I... hit me, Lord. Let's go. Now, if he pulls up a seat and says, Tim, you better sit down. We got some discussion here to do, son. I'll probably go, ugh. But if I stand there and he goes, you know, Tim, this is good. You failed in that area, but you bounced back. You asked for forgiveness. I got that taken care of. You were weak in that. You said you wanted help. I gave you help. And I see that, oh, after I did that, you excelled in that area. Well done, good and faithful servant. But keep persevering here on this earth. Don't give up. Keep abounding in the works that God has for you. Now, we might in the next week or so look this up. Because it talks about looking at the five crowns that we may receive in heaven. They talk about the victor's crown, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of rejoicing. I said that right? Well, okay, Lord, let me slow down. The victor's crown, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, and the crown of glory. You can find some of those things that speak sometimes in throughout our scriptures in the New Testament about like five crowns or whatever. But we may look at some of those and see what those turn out to be. But, you know, that's to come. That's to come. Before we get there, guys, I want to work on you on this side of heaven to say, abound in the things that God has asked you to do. Amen. The talent he's given you, don't let him come and take it back from you and then give it to somebody else. You work in it and you continue to persevere. And be found faithful. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for all the times you give us so much mercy, and that you continue to work with us, Lord, in the areas that we are falling short in and serving you and fulfilling the things that you've asked for us to do, the gifts, the talents you've put in us specifically, Lord. Lord, if I am not using them wisely and until the fullness, Lord, please forgive me and show me, Lord, and help me understand those areas that I've been deficient in, Lord. But I want to continue to get better for you. I want to continue to please you. And I want to continue to help my fellow man here on this earth, Lord, in whatever I can do. But Lord, it's going to take your help in us. It's going to be your strength working through us. And Lord, to do those things, we need a strong, powerful body physically to do these things. And so I pray, Lord, healing, strength, physical strength, healing in our bodies here today. And those that are away from us, Lord, that, Lord, you will touch them to be strong in you, Lord, so that we can serve you and continue to run the race set before us. And, Lord, you will do that. And it'll be on your timetable, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen.